I've been pondering something for a little bit now. And when I say ponder, thought comes in and say, no, I don't know if that's right for now. It'll come back, it'll come back, it'll come back. And then it came back. I mean, it came back. And I said, okay, Lord, I always say, I'll say exactly what you tell me to say. I won't pull any punches, so you won't have to pull me from the lineup. And I found myself wanting to pull punches because it's sensitive. Some more sensitive to the other. But if I don't say it, nothing will change. So if you need a title, it's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. I know the correct word is unnegotiable. I always thought it was non-negotiable. But I looked it up, I saw unnegotiable, and I was like, I'm sticking with non. Say non-negotiable. I'll give you the dictionary definition, but basically what that means is there's some things that are not open for discussion. Period. It be the way it be. That's just the way it is. And as Christians, God expects us to live our life like that, based on His Word. Because I have a plaque in my office that said God gave us 10 commandments, not suggestions. And commandments are non-negotiable. Say, commandments are non-negotiable. But as a society, we negotiate. There are things that we know may not be correct, and we try and mix it enough with some correctness so you can't tell the difference. But we know. We know because we have an unction from the Holy Ghost and we know all things. And the Holy Ghost, according to what Jesus said, and I believe that, He'll guide us into all truth. Some translations say He will guide us into all the truth there is. But we have to start standing on the non-negotiables because we've been negotiating. Turn to Exodus, please. Exodus 32. It's after Israel came out of Egypt, after their Red Sea experience, after the pillar of cloud. They've seen God do everything that He said He was going to do. They got to the bottom of the mountain. Moses went up to the mountain and appeared that he was never coming back down. Starting at verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, they gathered together to Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods to go before us. Make us gods to go before us. Now, Aaron was the priest. So they went to the priest to make us other gods. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. They're saying, we heard what Moses said. We don't see anything happening. We don't even see Moses. So we have to do something else. Obviously, what Moses said must not be true, otherwise, he'd be here. But we've waited long enough. We don't know what's become of him. And Aaron replied, now who's Aaron? Doesn't it say Aaron replied, remember what Moses said? Stand still. See the salvation. Moses will come back just as he said. He didn't do that. He said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Adam. He took an offering. I just saw that. He took an offering. People gave their gold. People took the gold from their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This calf that used to be an earring brought me up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offering to an idol. Offered up burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Rose up to do what? Not praise. Not even pray. They rose up to play. The Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have, listen to what it said, they corrupted themselves. How do you know? They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They were moved by peer pressure. And that word says they quickly turned, which means you know you're facing a different direction. If I know I'm supposed to be over here and I'm over here, I have to realize I need to be over there and I have to turn to a different direction. I can't keep going saying, I'm supposed to be over there, I'm supposed to be over there, I'm supposed to be over there. If I want to get there, I have to turn. They turned away from everything God had said, everything. I know they hadn't received the Ten Commandments yet, but they knew they were on the way. But they had the word from God before then that he was going to take care of them and that they were to go to that mountain and worship. So they knew. Say they knew. God said they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and had worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 32. I'm sorry, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were unruly and unrestrained, for Aaron had let them get out of control. Who let them get out of control? Who's Aaron? Their spiritual leader let them get out of control. He knew what was going on, and he let it happen anyway. You take note of that. He let it happen. We're not letting stuff happen here. If it needs to be said, it's going to be said. Because if we don't, there's derision, there's shame. So Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me. And all the people didn't come. Only the Levites came. The rest of the people said, we like it fine. Right here. They didn't know that was going to be the last thing they said. But they had a choice to make. Whoever is on the Lord's side. What does that mean? On the Lord's side. It implies choice. Whoever's on the Lord's side, let him come to me. That means don't get in their way. Let him go. I always try and imagine scenes when things happen. And I could hear Moses saying that. Why did he say, let them go? He didn't just say, come. He said, let them go. Which means they had to walk through the people, and the people probably stink facing them. Side can mean a lot of things. There are a lot of definitions for side. But the one that applies, side, is the attitude or activity of one person or group with respect to another. It's a position that is opposite to or contrasted with another. For us, when the word said, who's ever on the Lord's side, now that person needs to examine themselves and determine, what am I really all about? In the deep places that I don't let anybody see, who am I? Because I was just given a question. I was just given a choice. What choice am I going to make? Am I on the Lord's side? What does that mean to be on the Lord's side? What do I believe? Based on the definition, Moses was saying, okay, whoever is in agreement with what God thinks or how God feels, come. Just come. If you agree with God and everything concerning God, come. And everybody didn't come. Who's ever in agreement with God's position versus the general public, come. Just come. That's what it was, folks. The people wanted that which was against God's thoughts, God's purpose, and God's plan. And the public opinion was, our way is better than God's, even though their plan had to take them back to where they had been delivered from. Never thought about that before. What they wanted meant they had to go back to the place where God just delivered them. Just delivered them. So you're saying you like that better than what God had for you. I'm telling you all this for a reason. I am not a political person. I am not a politician. I'm a child of God, and I'm a pastor. I have a responsibility. My responsibility, Pastor Ed's responsibility, is not to tell you what to do politically at all. We have to tell you who you are. Because we believe once you understand who you are, you'll do what God tells you to do. Whatever He tells you to do, because we don't know people's hearts. We don't know. If we went by the world's hearts, the Apostle Paul would have never been. They'd have finally killed him before he got started because they thought he was an enemy. But we have to find out and hold on to what God says is non-negotiable. And make our choices based on that. And to do that, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what are my non-negotiables? Or do you have some things that are just absolutely, we're not even going to thinking about, talking about it. Not even going to consider it. I don't do that. There isn't anything anybody can offer me to jump off the Cuomo Bridge. Hey, buddy, like to jump off the Cuomo? No, we're not going to talk about it. I'm not going to entertain your presence. Why? Because my Bible tells me bad company corrupts the good morals. And if you're trying to get me to do something like that, you bad company. We have to live this thing out, folks. Anybody that tries to get you to do anything opposite of what God said ain't your friend. Does not have your best interest at heart. And you need to understand that and move from their presence, or you'll get corrupted. Just like the Israelis were corrupted. And it cost many of them, they said about 3,000 of them, their lives. Still love me? The people, those Israelites, when Moses said, who's ever on God's side, come over here, now they have to make a public display of what they really believe. No time for hiding and schmoozing, and your faith, the crosshairs are on you. Are you on the Lord's side? Yes. Publicly. And it means you have to step over all the muck and mire, close friends who don't believe what you believe, all of that, and move over to now you're on God's side. And that's where you're going to stay, no matter what. You're not concerned about the cost, because you know whatever the cost is, my God will supply all your need. I'm sure they had to experience some pressure. Oh, so you're going to leave us? Well, you think you're better than us now? I was sitting in a barbershop in Spring Valley several years ago. A real rough-looking barber. First time I walked in there, my three barbers, because I have, can't go to this one, go to that one, none of them were available. And I need to get a haircut. Don't let the bald head fool you. And so I saw a barbershop. One person was walking out, no one else was in there, so I said, oh, I'm going in. This guy, he wasn't profane, but the words coming out of his mouth, I'm like, how badly do I need a haircut? And then put the cream on my face, has the razor in my hand, gets ready to shave, and then looks at me and says, are you one of those Christians? I said, yep, I am. Why do you ask? He said, because a lot of people come in here and tell me they're Christians, and I ask some questions, and they break up and go to pieces, so I wanted to know if you were serious. He said, obviously I can't intimidate you. I said, no, you can't. He said, why is that? I said, well, actually, if you tried to do something to me, my angel would break your arm. He laughed. I said, no, I'm serious. And if you didn't break your arm, I leave here and I'm face to face with Jesus. So if you want to talk, let's talk. Was there pressure? Not as much as he thought there'd be. But the high priest gave in to pressure. And as I think about the different accounts that I've read in the Bible, Aaron wasn't the only high priest to throw in the towel. All the people, when the Philistine champion shouted out the Israeli army, the high priest didn't say, God be with you. When Nebuchadnezzar said, you play my music, I play my music, you bow down and dance, the high priest was, But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. And when questioned and threatened by the king, what was their position? We don't even have to think about this. There was nothing to discuss. There was nothing to negotiate. Our God will, O king. And their God did. Because they wouldn't negotiate. See, when you negotiate, you confer with another to arrive at a settlement of some matter. It means you want one thing, they want something else, and you keep talking, and you compromise. Well, one definition of compromise is turn away from virtue. Michael Jr., comedian, I saw him at a conference Minister Phillips and I attended, and he said something that I never thought about before. He said, would you walk over a bridge that's been compromised? He said, so you need to get away from what we have to compromise. Marriage is not a compromise. When something is compromised, it's defective. It's defective. The integrity has been compromised. The integrity is defective. Just compromise is a fancy word for it. It's not defective. Let's compromise a little bit. No, there's no such thing as a little compromise. You know the adage, like being a little pregnant. When something's non-negotiable, it means especially not open to discussion or reconsideration. Especially. That means I'm going to cut you off before you get it out. Do you want to? No. You don't know what I was going to? No. I don't do that. That's not representative of who I am. So no. So you think about what are some of your non-negotiables? You think about that. What is it that you already know God's not for? You already know. Isaiah 53. Guys, you don't have it. New International Version. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Those were non-negotiables for Christ. He knew what he had to do. He knew it wasn't going to be appreciated by all the people. He did it anyway. Why? It was God's will. And he was on God's side. God was his homie, not the people. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, I like to say, and he went. You say, well, you say that was a non-negotiable. What about the garden? What about the garden? Yes, he expressed what he was feeling. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. But what did he do about it? Pray. What did he pray? Not my will, but yours be done. I don't like how the thought of this sounds, Lord, but I'm on your side. So I don't care how it sounds, I don't care how it looks, I am on your side. So what you say is what I'm going to do, period. Period. Like that drug commercial when they say, does your brain, is your brain on drugs? Any questions? The guy comes on and says, if you have a problem, you don't discuss it. You don't debate it. You go get help. You fix it. There's a lot of stuff. We're into that season where I stay off of social media. So there's a lot of stuff flying around. And I don't particularly care if you see yourself as a Republican, a Democrat, right to life. I really don't. Are you listening to what God says? Are your thoughts his thoughts? Do you have it in you that anything that God says is non-negotiable? Period. And there isn't any reason for me to side with someone who's against my God. Doesn't matter what's before or after their name. It doesn't matter. Amen. There are no perfect political parties. There are no perfect candidates. But we serve a perfect God. Amen. And some of the things that are being presented, if they're true, it means God's not perfect. I was sharing with someone once. I said the basic premise behind the LGBTQ, no disrespect, I just don't remember all the initials. The basic premise is that God made a mistake. Well, if he made a mistake, why do I want to serve an infallible God? If he can make a mistake with my gender, what else did he do? There's one comedian, you say, mess me up. But we need to understand that. Say, I'm not going to side with that thinking. My God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Yes, sir. So he's not going to flip the switch. He's against killing babies. If you're on his side, you're against killing babies. That's not politics, that's God. Amen. Amen. It's the person who said we're his children. Amen. We have to start thinking like we're his children. Amen. And acting like we are his children. Yes, God created Adam and Eve. And he ordained marriage between Adam, who was a male, and Eve, who was female. He hadn't changed his mind on that. So anyone I'm siding with, anyone whose side I'm going to be on, has to have that same point of view. Otherwise, I'm going to get corrupted. Why do you keep saying that? Because it's so. And you need to understand something. I got this morning, because I had a longer, I got very little sleep. I'll just put it out there. And so this morning, I was reviewing some notes and I didn't eat. But I said, that's okay. They have stuff here. And I went out there. I was going to get something to eat. And I saw Deacon Rosemary's face. Not literally. As I was about to walk toward the pastries. And I did a swerve and said, I'm going to get some fruit. And I got a banana. But I wanted banana with, my nutritionist said to me to eat bananas that have some light brown spots, because there's something about the way the sugar is digested. And so I got one, but it felt kind of soft. And they said it feels soft. Well, that's fine. I unpeeled it. It felt fine. I peeled it. It wasn't. Parts of it were okay, but the whole thing was getting soft and mushy. It didn't look like it. When I got to the inside of it and looked past the initial layer, I saw it wasn't good. It looked good, smelled great, but it wasn't good. I didn't see that it wasn't good until I examined it before I consumed it. Why am I telling you that? We need to do a better job examining before consuming. Digging deep to uncover before we're so quick to side. When Jesus, well, in Luke 9, I'm in the Amplified Classic. Now it occurred that as Jesus was praying privately, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others that one of the ancient prophets has come back to life. And he said to them, but who do you yourselves say I am? And Peter replied, the Christ of God. But he strictly charged and sharply commanded them under penalty to tell this to no one, no one, whoever he might be, saying, this is what he said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be deliberately disapproved and repudiated and rejected on the part of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be put to death, on the third day be raised again. Those were non-negotiables. He told them, yes, that's who I am, but this is what I have to do. And there's nothing to discuss about it. I am going to be crucified. I am going to be buried. I am going to rise again. Nothing to discuss. Verse 23. And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying. This was not a discussion. This is a non-negotiable if you're going to follow Christ. It's non-negotiable. There's nothing to talk about. Are you a Christian? Yep, done deal. Done deal. Now, what about the political climate? After all, the political climate can have an effect on us. Well, are we children of the Most High God? Do we listen to what God says? He said, first of all, prayers, supplications, and the giving of thanks be made for men everywhere, for kings and all that are in authority, all that are in authority, not the ones in authority who I like. All that are in authority. What do I pray? That we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty before your face. Why? Because it's good and perfect in your sight, because you want all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But think about that. In order for all men to be saved, what must we do? Pray for men everywhere, kings and all that are in authority, that we live a quiet and peaceable life. So men are not going to be saved by confusion, backbiting, arguing, fighting. Men aren't going to be saved by that. Quiet and peaceable. When they look at you as a child of Most High God and they see the peace of God all over you and the love of God just flowing all through you, what is it about you? There were times when Minister Phillips and I couldn't sit in a restaurant without someone walking up to us. Said, do you mind? There's like this glow over you. Could you just bless me? Strangers, I'm trying to eat a quiche. And they're just coming up. God said to me one time, I don't like the local Walmart. So I was looking for another Walmart, and the closest one was 40 miles away. Round number 37 point something. But we went. Had to return something, and Minister Phillips wanted to pick up something. So we get in there, and I say, okay, I'll go to the return line. You go get what you want. I figure, bing, bang, boom, in there and out of there. Done. There were two lines for the returns. I'm on one. It's moving, taking a little, feels like it's forever. But that's okay. It's like going to the motor vehicle. You expect to wait. There's a lady on this, the other line. The words coming out of her mouth. She was yelling at everybody, arguing at everybody, cursing at everybody. And I'm sitting there getting an attitude. Will someone either help this lady or put her out? I'm not going to hear this. I felt like giving up my place online and going out somewhere until she finished. Then come back and wait all over again. But I stayed there. And God, being God, he didn't say anything to me about it until after she left. Now, if you want to talk to me now, I don't need you now. She's already gone. He said, she just got some bad medical news. I want you to find her and pray for her. I had an easy out. I don't pray, God, you know, I don't pray with women by myself. I'm not going to walk up to a woman and say, may I lay my hands on you? He said, you need to go find her. Phyllis will be there. It's a non-negotiable. So, you know, I was just, all right. Where is she? Where is she? Maybe she hopes she left. Maybe she, see, no, there she is right over there. As I'm walking over, I look, see off to the left, I see Minister Phyllis, then was Phyllis. And I went over there and told her, I said, honey, I need you to come with me. She said, what's the matter? I said, God told me to lay hands on this woman. She said, the one that was doing all the cursing? I said, yes. He said that she had a medical condition that she just got found out about. So she said, okay. She put her things down. We walked over. I said to the lady, God told me she broke down and started crying. She had just been diagnosed with cancer. And she said, I know I must have sounded horrible on the line. I couldn't say, no, you didn't. I said, it's okay, because it was okay. I said, if you don't mind, God told me to lay hands on you and to pray for you. And we did. And she popped up. I don't know what happened. She said, I feel all this energy. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry about the line. I said, forget about the line. There was a non-negotiable. Suppose I had copped an attitude. What happens to that woman? We have to think about that. But our position needs to be, there are some things that are not open to negotiation, for negotiation. Peter, in Acts 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been cured standing there beside them, they couldn't contradict the fact or say anything in opposition. But having ordered the prisoners to go aside out of the council chamber, they conferred, debated among themselves, saying, what are we to do with these men? For an extraordinary miracle has been performed by and through them is plain to all the residents of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread further among the people and the nation, let us warn and forbid them with a stern threat to speak no more to anyone in this name or about this person. This principle is at work today. We've been warned. We've been threatened. Different people who have been speaking out about things, all of a sudden they have no more platforms. Are you going to stop speaking? Or are you going to make your own platform? So they summoned them, meaning Peter and John, and imperatively instructed them not to converse in any way or teach at all in or about the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied to them, this is non-negotiable. Well, they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you and obey you rather than God, you must decide, you must judge. But we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen or heard. For us, it's non-negotiable. This is who I am. This is what I say. This is what I believe, period. And you know something? I don't have to deal with you, but you're gonna have to deal with me. Why can I say that? Because God will put you in a position of influence and they're gonna have to deal with you. And you've been praying for all men, for kings and all that in authority. And when you're doing that, you're demonstrating to God that you have his heart. And you're willing to do what he said, regardless of the social climate. Regardless of the social climate. Regardless of the social climate. It doesn't matter how many friends you have on your social media platform. You don't have to say things or do things or be unfriended. Unfriend me. It's a non-negotiable. So but I say, I tell God, can I just put this? He's like, no, I didn't tell you to put anything on there. Then why am I looking at it? I want you to see the general climate among my people. Among my people, God's concerned about the representation of his people to this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They need to see our good works, not see us acting like them. I have someone that's a very close friend, but I don't talk politics. I don't. I talk what God said. And as I've said to all of you a number of times, find out all the platforms that are out there, read them, see what they're all about. But don't make your decision based on the platform. Pray and ask the Holy Ghost to show you who deserves your vote. So why do you say it that way? I don't think there's one Christian who knew that Saul of Tarsus was going to have an epiphany and be used to write most of the New Testament. They didn't know because they were too busy looking at things that he has done. We don't know who has a position today, but something's going to happen in their life in 2 years, and it's going to change their position. But God knows.
Yes, sir.
God knows.
Yes, sir.
So we have to stop judging people. Yeah, look and see what they stand for. God, what am I supposed to do with this? This is a non-negotiable. This is a non-negotiable. This is a I'm not negotiating these. What am I supposed to do? He will tell you. He knows all the people he wants in office. There are people that have to be in position for God's plan to play out,
Amen.
Whether we like it or not.
Amen.
He knows who those people are.
Amen.
We don't.
Amen.
What we do know, this is what God is about, so this is what I'm about. I'm not going to concern, it's not that I'm not going to concern myself with this. I'm going to offer this up in prayer, lifting up those in authority, so that while this is being worked out, we're living a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Men are being saved and are coming into the knowledge of the truth. That's what it's all about. And that's what our focus needs, where our focus needs to be. It's a non-negotiable. As I said before, God is not going to discuss when it's all right to kill a baby. He's not going to discuss what situations require gender re-identification. He's not going to discuss same-sex marriages. He's already said his position on those. He loves the people, but he will not condone the action. We have to love the people. They need to know that people who are involved in those things think that the church hates them. And they think that for good reason. Because of some of the names used to describe them by noted church folks. That would drive anybody, drive me away. We are redeeming love, Christian Center. The way we love people is supposed to help them get redeemed. We're a place where the love of God is evident, first and foremost. Everybody, regardless of what they believe, needs to know that we love them. They need to feel that love. When they feel the love, they'll be open to the Word of God being taught to them. Because they know we're doing it out of a position of love, not condemnation. Sometimes we tell people the truth and it sounds like and feels like we're killing them. That's tough love. No, it ain't. God gave me a definition for tough love. When someone does something that's ridiculously wrong, get tough and love them the way God does anyway. That's tough love. See, I'm saying this for their own benefit. No, you're saying it to make yourself feel good. Why do I say that? Because that person didn't benefit from it. They went around feeling that the church, even the church despised me. So this group you're trying to keep me out of, at least they accept me. And let me finish up with Mr. Aaron, the high priest, the one to keep the people in spiritual love, keep reminding them that they stay in line. Well, at one point, God brought him out in front of the people, had him take off the priestly garments and put them on his sons. And he died because he didn't have non-negotiables. He would negotiate. They're mad at Moses. Moses is our leader. He's ordained of God. He's in the mix. Folks, I hope I didn't turn anybody off. I hope I turned you on. But I'll say this again, just to say it. Your political preference is your political preference. I don't need to know it. I have preferences too. But my obligation is to make sure my preference lines up with what God has told me. And God's only going to tell me things he's put in his word. And the Holy Ghost is going to confirm it. That's what I do. That's what I've done for several years. One time I told you this before. And that was the first year God explained this to me. I said, okay, I'm going in the voting booth. I'm going to be praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask God to guide my hand, and I'll pull whatever level he directs me to. I said that. Sounds like a nice Christian thing to say. I'm in the voting booth, and I see my hand going where I didn't expect it would go, and I said verbally, oh, no! Mr. Carr, are you okay? Are you okay? I said, you know, I'm fine. But I did what I was supposed to do. And I walked out, pulled the thing and walked out. And I said, well, that really wasn't as hard as I was making it. Yes, the scripture says that God said, come, let us reason together. He was talking about your forgiveness from sin. He wasn't talking about whether or not you should do what he says. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love God?
Yes.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Then what they say to us has to become non-negotiable. Do you understand? I hope you still love me. See, that wasn't as strong as the first time. Whether you love me or not, it's still non-negotiable for me. I have to say what he tells me to say or do what he tells me to do and not pull any punches. God has a plan. Before he said, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he had holy plans for us. One of those, he said, a prophet to the nations, that's what he has for us. So he wants us to influence the nations. But it's with his words, his way, showing his plans, his programs, his pursuits, his way. That's what he expects from us, because we're his children. How many of you have children? How many expect your children to listen to you? God's no different. He expects his children to be many him. No, he didn't expect many versions of him. He expects us to be like him in every way. He spoke things into existence. We started out one word away. One word away, the power of life and death is in what you say. Which leaves another thought as I close, because I have four zeros on it. No, I'll say that next Sunday. Wednesday, whenever I'm here again. I hope you understood my heart, God's heart for us, but I can't stand by as one of your pastors, and Pastor Ed's, we've talked about this. We can't stand by why people go down a slippery slope and not say something. Can't say this, you should have known better. If you should have known better, why would God need pastors? He gives you a Bible, you read it once, you understand everything, done. But why do you have to give five special gifts? Pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists. Why do you have to give all that? And why 66 books? Do whatever I say. The end. He knows that we're not going to get everything right away, but we have to be willing to be pliable, to be remolded. How many of you remember those little wooden plane gliders? Put it together and just... Good, somebody back there my age, okay. That's made from balsa wood. Balsa wood is a big block of wood. If I had time, I'd get it from my office. I'll show you maybe next time I'm here. That block of balsa wood had to be carved. It had to submit to being reformed, reshaped, refashioned, and then assembled according to someone else's plan so it could fly. That's the way it is with us. We're big blocks of balsa wood. And we want to fly. We want to soar. We have to allow ourselves to be recut, reshaped, smoothed out, repositioned. The front wings can't decide, I want to be the tail wings, and the plane will fly. No. The pilot can't say, I want to be the tail. Let the tail pilot the plane. Doesn't work that way. There's a specific plan to which there are no negotiables. And that's the way our life needs to be. Father, we thank you. We give you all alone all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father, for revealing to each person's heart what you want them to glean from the words you gave us to share this morning. Father, we're your children, and we understand that one of the jobs you gave us when we were created was to replenish the earth and subdue it, bring it under subjection. You gave us power over all the power of the enemy, and you expect us to use it, to wield it. And you told us to pray for all men, leaders and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty before your face. And we thank you, Father, that those that are not doing that will begin to do it, because they now understand the importance of it. And we thank you that as a body at large, we'll be known by our non-negotiables. We're going to stand for the things that you tell us to stand for, and we're not going to shy back from any confrontation because of it. We are who we are because of who you are, and we're going to embrace that in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? Maybe someone watching online. If you're here, just raise your hand. If you're online, put down on watching. And our tech team they'll motion to me and I'll know that someone's online. God made this easy. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved.